Log Talk Radio.
Romans 6.
What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Praise the Lord, brothers. Praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is a new episode of Issues Christian Men's Talk. Brothers, again, thank you for taking the opportunity to listen. If you listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, or if you're on our Facebook page at Issues Christian Men's Talk on Facebook, or you received the link here on your phone through text, I sent it out to you, so I pray that you're blessed and continued to support and to listen in, and hopefully something is said that will encourage you in your faith. Is what we do here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, is to touch on some of the issues that affect men as they lead in the home, leading the church, and leading the community. As men of God, fulfilling the purpose and plan that God has placed us here. Amen. Elder Mark, we're going to talk about a couple of some devotionals we've been working on and some other issues. And again, brothers, you know, if you got this on your text, you can always text us any topics that you may be interested in listening. Also, to remind you that on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m., we are live, and you can call in at 646-668-2636 and join the conversation, share your insights and conversations, anything you want to talk about, any topics you want to touch on that might be edifying and encouraging unto brethren. Amen. It's here in this new year in 2022. we are focusing in on moving forward, setting a vision, setting a plan, and just to continue the body of Christ and fulfilling the purpose and plan of that of Christ's church with the Great Commission and encouraging and edifying one another. Amen. Well, I'm open to prayer. We're going to get right into the conversation tonight and touch on some things. Let me pray. Father God, we just say thank you. Thank you, God, for all that you've done. Thank you for being God. Thank you, God, for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die for the remission of our sins and shed his blood. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit living within us, oh God, that guides and directs and helps us walk out this soul salvation, oh God. We thank you, God, for also, God, knowing that we know that you are in control and you are sovereign of all things that happen on this earth. Nothing happens on the earth in this natural realm, in this temporal realm, that you don't know about and have control over. So, Father, we ask, oh God, you continue to give us steadfast wisdom, discernment, and guidance and perseverance, oh God, that we, God, would be the church and fulfill the purpose and plan that you put us here, to fulfill the Great Commission and live lives that glorify you, that all men would see, we be drawn near to you by how we live and how we speak and how we share the gospel, that souls might be saved. So, Father, we just say thank you. Continue to watch over us. Father, we pray for those who may be sick in the hospital today, sick in their body, God. We pray for those who might be struggling in their finances, emotion, and spiritual battles, oh God. We're praying, God, that you would encourage them, oh God, that they would know to stand fast and persevere through, oh God, that not a brother, not a man, not a husband, a father, a son would give up, that, God, they would lean on you, seek you, and depend on you, God, to bring them through, Lord God. So we thank you for that right now. Continue to strengthen and encourage your church. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Amen. I want to share a couple things, brothers. Again, this is the new year. We're in the new calendar year of 2022. So, again, we have more things in common. And what we have in common is the doctrine and the principles of the Word of God. So I want to share three specific things that we should be in agreement with to know that where we are in Christ, because we have to know what we believe and why we believe it. First, I want to talk about salvation and understand that salvation is granted by God's grace alone, received through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. Every believer is united to Christ, justified before God, and adopted into the family. Thus, in God's eyes, there is no difference in spiritual value or worth among those who are in Christ. All who are united in Christ are also united to one another, regardless of age, ethnic group, sex, background, nationality, whatever. We're all believers in the world. All believers are being conformed to the image of Christ by God's regenerative and sanctifying grace. All believers will be brought to a final glorification, a sinless state of perfection on the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? And in that, the gospel. Do we understand what the gospel? Do we understand why the gospel? And I'm going to share this with you as an affirmation of the gospel. The gospel is a divine revealed message concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ. His virgin birth, his righteous life, his sacrifice, the atoning death, the bodily resurrection, revealing who he is and what he has done with the promise that he will save anyone and everyone who turns to him from sin by trusting him as Lord in the Lordship of Christ. And finally, brothers, the third leg on this stool is the scripture, the Bible. It is God's word, breathed out by him. It is inerrant, infallible, and the final authority for determining what is true, what we must believe, and what is right, how we must live. All truth claims and ethical standards must be tested by God's final word, which is Scripture alone. And this is who we are as men of God, who we are as a church. Now, there's a lot of things that to me is your is our three-legged stool, the foundation. So anything that's added or taken from that, if any of your doctrine or belief systems or any teaching deviates from those, you need to consider it. This is where we have the discernment of the Holy Spirit and we take the word of God and we look and we see what the doctrines teach us to know who we are in Christ, because we must know what we believe and why we believe it. And with that is how we can evangelize those around us, those in our circle of influence, family, friends, co-workers, community. But we have to be able to speak the same thing and know what we believe and why we believe it. And that's my greatest thing. I just wanted to encourage you brothers out. Because for us to be able to share the gospel, the true gospel, and the gospel through the word of God is what God has called, why Christ has his church and the purpose of us as being the church, not the building, but us as individual believers. Amen? Amen. So saying with that, we're going to jump in tonight. Elder Mark, are you there? Can you hear me, brother?
Oh, yes,
wait
sir,
a minute.
Yes,
we
sir.
Got a technical issue. Oh, there you go. All right, I hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you clearly. Good.
Amen, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, bro, again, welcome you. Where we want to start, where we want to go, bro? I'm going to put the ball in your court. Where we want to go?
You know, I kind of thought we were going to lead this one in, but I guess we can jump back. We were in the last day of Crazy Faith on our last discussion. We were in day five,
okay,
going into day Crazy Faith, so we can take a look at that one. And
all right, sounds like a plan. There we go.
The Crazy Faith, it was, man, I heard this, first heard the part of the Crazy Faith series last year in the midst of Daniel Fast as well, that we're constantly, a consecration that my church group is finally is in together now. In any case, when I heard it, it was just something different that just, it just drew me in. The idea, just the thought of faith, of just being that, of being crazy, to think beyond what seems possible. The impossible is possible with God. And that faith just drives so much. It changes so much in your understanding and your approach. It changes how you feel about yourself in the midst of your own issues when you have faith that you're going to make it through, because you have faith that God provides the solution, the answer. You are crazy enough to believe that somehow or another God's going to work it out, that somehow or another this thing that seems so bad is working out for your good. But that was my reason for jumping into Crazy Faith. And Deke, I'll ask your reason for jumping into Crazy Faith before we jump back into day five.
Well, amen, amen. Well, bro, you know, you set the lead, you set the tempo here, and you're right, because as we reached out to some of the brothers, I think we got about 10 or 12 brothers who are following along with us, and we, you know, as always, we encourage them to call in on our conversations on Thursday nights. But, you know, and you're right, as I read the devotional, again, you know, we look at these devotionals, and when you, what really devotions can do for us, brothers, is to stir us up and get us to thinking about Scripture in another way, in another scene, depending where we are. And the devotional just gets you to think about the crazy faith of what it means to just believe, to believe God can, to be able to have faith in God will. And sometimes it's crazy. We don't see it as crazy, because sometimes in the church we get to that point where we're, Book of Revelation talks about being lukewarm, or we take things for granted in our faith and in the church and the things that as we are as Christians, as men of God, we get lackadaisical, we get stagnant. But then when you look and like this devotional, it should stir up those lukewarm waters in us, our lukewarm spirit. And that's what I got when, as reading it for these 5 days, it started me thinking another way, thinking of the Scriptures. You know, there was a couple of Scriptures they gave us a reference, and what the author here was writing about. So I started thinking about your faith and how crazy it is. Only some of the things we pray for casually, but we're praying because we believe God can. And for some folk, that could be crazy. Because we take it, again, we get to a place where we're lackadaisical, we're lukewarm, and we take it for granted. Because I remember even thinking about this, just the fact that our salvation, that God has sent his son to die for us, to take us as sinful, evil, corrupt enemies of God, and then to reconcile us back to him, that he treat us like children. And as I shared in the beginning about our salvation, we are God's child. We are co-heirs with Christ, as Scripture tells us who we are. And sometimes I think we forget that, because that is crazy to believe that. You know, it's something, if we really think about what we're saying, the God who created everything in Genesis now is the God, because of the disobedience, he's willing to send his son to reconcile us, you, me, any other believer out there, any other man of God who's listening, no matter what you've done and where you come from, who your parents was or whatever, he sent his son to die that you might be reconciled back to him. And we take that, I think we take that miracle for granted. And then I also, I've thought about, even when we do evangelism, where is our passion to save another soul? And then also, and some other things that, I mean, I read a lot, and I was just thinking, because I hear, you know, you listen to a lot of teaching and preaching, even those who teach of the end times. If we teach the Red Book of Revelations, why would we want anyone to go through that? What kind of Christian are we if we read the Word of God in Book of Revelations and the wrath to come, because God's going to punish this earth, but we would leave our next door neighbor, our parents, our coworkers, all those souls. We don't care enough to share the gospel in a way that they might believe that they don't have to go through that. Or do we just take it for granted? So when I hear crazy faith, it's we forget. And I pray that something that will stir us up and remember that this faith, this is not normal. You know, and that's what we got in this discussion before with, you know, folk who were raised in the church. They take their salvation for granted because they never done nothing. But for the rest of us, we want to thank God for salvation. We want to thank God for the transforming of our minds. What do you say, sir?
That one really hit home. You know, a lot of us have been in church all of our lives, but still decided to choose worldly endeavors that, you know, took us out of the will of God and out of the away from the call, away from that walk that we're called to. But I think we all have to reach a place where we have to believe that God can change our past. God can not change our past. He can take us through our past. Changing our past would mean changing who we're being shaped to be. Like, our past, everything about us has a reason. It has a purpose. Even the seemingly mishaps, the seemingly impossible things that you're fighting to get through, those things are meant to shape you, not to destroy you. And that's what we're called to believe and faith in. That's what I think is just so crazy, to think that even what's meant for bad, even what somebody, even what the enemy has sent out, even what I've messed myself up and walked into, what I've been tricked into, what I decided upon because of my temptations of flesh, any of that all amounts to God can turn it around for my good. All I have to do is just believe, wholeheartedly believe he can and will, and he will do it. Word says he's a man that cannot lie. He can't lie. His word can't come back false then. So anything that's promised in his word has got to come to fruition. But we just have to believe it and believe wholeheartedly. It's crazy to believe in the midst of your situation that your finances are changing when you don't have food in the refrigerator. It's crazy to believe that you're gonna have the funds to pay for your rent and pay for the bills when you just lost your job. It's hard to have faith and believe that things are gonna turn around when all you've seen is issue after issue after issue. But if you realize you had a chance to see another issue, that means you made it through the other issue. You couldn't have seen this issue if you didn't make it through the previous one. So somewhere along the lines, something is working out for your good that you're making it through. And that's the call to believe and just have faith. God, I know I'm making it through. I know it doesn't seem like it, but God, thank you for helping me, for guiding me, for taking me through. And in that, just that minute amount of faith, crazy enough to believe, and believe in the midst of the issue. Don't just wait for it to happen, wait for God to give it to you, and then all of a sudden you're faithful. Be faithful even when it hurts. Be faithful even when it doesn't feel good, because the reward is the abundance God has promised. Back to you, sir.
Amen, brother. Amen. And, you know, brothers, I just want to say this. And that's what it is, because we're on the fifth day, and the fifth day talks about never giving up. And, men, you know, we have to remember not to give up. We have to know what it means to persevere, you know. I mean, we have the example in Scripture. We have the example of the apostles. We have the examples of the believers. You know, we have historical examples. Even if we look at the history of the church and the martyrs, those who were killed for their faith, you know, in church history, you know. But that's what we need. These are the things that we need to understand of what Scripture is teaching us to do, that we have to endure these trials and these circumstances and know that God is in control. And then, like my brother said, you know, just because you're going through don't mean you're out of the will of God. I know a lot of folk want to teach that, because that's the curse of the prosperity gospel, if you ask me, that, you know, no one's going to get sick. Everyone should be wealthy and healthy. That's a lie. That's a lie. If we just look at history, that's a lie. That's a Western thing. That was a thing that was some doctrine that came out. I'm not even going into the history of where it came from. But again, I put it this way: it was a scheme of the enemy to bring a lot of tear into the church, to mix with the wheat. Because you tell somebody they're going to get the this, they're going to get blessed, their money cometh, and the testimony, a check came in, miraculously, a check showed up in my bed. All the stuff that we all have heard, and what that does to someone that doesn't happen to them, what that does to someone who got evicted, what that does to someone who's got, where does that put their faith when they get evicted, when they come up short with their finances, when the lights are off? I know couples and folk who ended up homeless because of their financial struggles. But yet they had to persevere. I know marriages, right, brothers, let me say this. There's marriages right now that are on the verge of falling apart over finances or over a circumstance and a situation that they don't trust God in, because it's not what they planned. It's not what they thought their marriage would be. You know, it's stuff, but we are called to persevere through these things and understand it's a spiritual battle. See, these are the things that we should be, as men of God, understanding what Scripture truly teaches when it comes to these things, that we ought to persevere. You know, and even then, I say this as a lighter note. Remember, Adam did not divorce Eve even after what she did. Come on, people. Did your wife get you kicked out of where you was, a nice cushy job with full benefits, and got you kicked out of the place you was living and put you out here where you had to now struggle? And you understand what I'm saying? But he kept his wife and had children. And then his firstborn, secondborn, they end up getting an argument and killing each other. I mean, one of them gets killed by the other. That's the stuff people right now today, that the same kind of circumstance that marriages are falling apart on, but yet, because they give up and they think it's, you know, they're not enduring it because their faith is tested. It's not going the way they wanted. It's not what they predicted. The enemy is destroyed. But what does he come to do? Kill, steal, and destroy. And these are the things that we have to learn to endure. So when I say a crazy faith, that you will not give up, no matter what's going on in this temporal realm, that you will stay faithful to the Word of God. And men, we have to know the Word of God, that we can be faithful and know that God is in control. Because if we don't believe that God is sovereign over this thing, then how can we believe Him for our salvation? I'm going to stop right there. Because these are the things that we have to meditate on as men of God, as husbands and fathers. And then what's the example we're setting in our homes, in our communities, and in our churches? How can I minister to a brother that he can endure if I've never endured nothing? Or I'm not transparent enough to share my testimony that might encourage another. This is where we need to be as a church. This is where we are iron. And when we talk iron sharpen iron, this is the stuff we're talking about. We're not talking about the nice stuff where we just come together and eat and fellowship and whatever. This is the issues that the enemy is using to destroy men, destroy families, and destroy marriages, and destroy churches. So in this new year, looking forward, we have to examine ourselves and see where we are in this faith walk. And are we living lives that are obedient? Do we have a crazy faith to believe every word of God? Do what the Bible say, every jot and tittle? Is our faith crazy enough to believe it all? And then is it crazy enough to make us stand and never give up? What say you, sir? Uh-oh, I lost you. Hey, can you hear me, brother?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Brothers, you listen to Issue Christian Men Talk. I'm Deacon Farr. Get Elder Mark to catch up here. I think we have a little technical issue going on. But I just consider, you know, because that's what we're here for. And that's what this whole conversation, this is what Men's Ministry is about, the importance of coming together, that we can have these conversations man to man, to encourage one another, that the church can be made stronger. Because the way a man goes is the way the church goes. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of things in the culture's got going on because men have advocated their authority, responsibility. But as men of God, we have to start to seek these things out and start to fill these gaps, fill these spaces with who we are and who God made us to be. And it all starts in our homes. It all starts in our families. It all starts in our local congregation. I don't care. You know, you could be part of a quote-unquote mega church, or you could be part of a church that is 25. It doesn't matter. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the faith of the people. And it's the empowering that God is going to use to pick particular people. Because we use it together or in groups or whatever God's called. But we have to be in a place where we're obedient and willing to submit and be used by him. Amen. Brother Mark, are you there? You good?
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. I want to say something, and I hope I don't. It's not going to step on. Well, brothers, you know, something about our faith. You know, it's so crazy to believe or that we misunderstand how strong what we believe in guides our household. You think about your children. Your children believe anything you tell them. They believe this. They believe Santa Claus. They believe in the Tooth Fairy. If you tell them that's the truth, they believe it until someone proves it otherwise. Their faith follows what you guide them in. If you believe in the Word of God, if you have faith in God, that they will grow. Your family, your wife, everyone in your household will grow because of your belief. But if you don't believe in anything, then your entire family can fall for anything. When you don't believe in something, it takes away the possibility to experience it. And for me, I'm just crazy enough to believe that no matter what I've been through, no matter what I've seen, the only way I made it through was because of the grace of God. I mean, my testimony of healing, my testimony of other, there's no way I could have made it other than the grace of God. And because of that, I'm crazy enough to believe that no matter what the situation is, it may be painful, it may be uncomfortable, it may just feel like I'm on my deathbed. But just like Job, I've got to be faithful and believe God is going to carry me through, because the reward to remain faithful is his abundant promises. It sounds like we're making it seem so easy to just be faithful. Well, brothers, I understand it's not easy. It's certainly not easy to believe when you're going through all your issues and to trust when you're going through all your – it's not easy to submit when you're going through. It's not easy to hand over the keys and say you take the wheel. It's not easy to give up the control you think you have in a given situation. But when you walk out on faith, when you start to live a life a little different, when you start to understand that there's a move on your behalf, that is God, that is the will of God, that is the Holy Spirit moving on your behalf, that everything about you is changed for the betterment of the kingdom and you as a part of the kingdom, as a part of his, as one of his children, as one of the inherit, one of the ones deserving of his inheritance. Because as we have proclaimed God is our Savior and believe in him, we're promised an inheritance. We're promised abundant blessings. It's just a matter of believing in the midst of our bad situation. I know, Deek, you can talk about it. We've all lived a life that wasn't according to what God called us to be, to call us to do. But as we've changed our belief that we can be something different than what the world says, gives even more honor to God's name, that we believe what he says about us rather than what somebody else has tried to convince us all of our lives. My brothers, I know it's not easy, but in this faith walk, be crazy enough to believe God can and will, even with who you used to be, or who you still may be, God can make the change. You just have to believe. So you, sir?
Amen, amen, gentlemen. I mean, brother, I agree. Our faith is believing. It's the hope. I think we have to understand, men of God, we have to restore hope. We have to restore hope in ourselves, restore our hope in our situations, restore hope into our lives, restore hope into our families. Restore hope into our churches and our communities. With all this going on, no matter where you're from, you may listen to this in all any parts of the country or anywhere in the world. We have to have hope and know that God is in control and know that there's a purpose behind everything that happens. Again, I always say, you know, we need to be able to read the Old Testament and see what happened, what Israel went through. When they were disobedient to God and were restored by God, and their faith was steadfast. And we need that faith right now. And in this New Testament time, in this church of the 21st century in 2022, we have to be in a place where we can restore hope to people, that we're not looking at our circumstances, and understand that God has blessed us. And the blessing of God is not the blessing of God is the life that we're here as his ambassadors. That's the other thing we have to understand. Jesus talked about how he told the disciples how they were going to be treated. And I said in the scripture, he said, you know, they hated me, they're going to hate you. Look how Paul was treated. Look how Peter was treated for the faith in Jesus Christ. So don't think James. Don't think it odd that, you know, you're going to be hated and persecuted and you're going to go through some things. But our faith has to be in a place where it's strong and it's foundational. And we know that the blessings of God is more than stuff. That's why, again, back to that whole prosperity gap, it's more than temporal stuff that's going to be, you know, that's going to disappear and rot away. Any money you have is going to be spent, and you're going to have to continue. You can't be blessed. No one is. Okay, put it this way. I know nobody here has been blessed with money, and that money wasn't used for a purpose and a plan, and it's gone. So you needed to re-up. So understand the blessings of God is a continuous flow in your life. You're connected to God, and God is looking out for you. He's going to supply all of your needs because that's what his word says, and he's faithful to his word. And that's what we have to be, and knowing that. And that when we're talking about the blessings of God, it's a continual blessing for where he wants us, what he wants us to go through, what he's taken us through, and how we can be a living epistles, living sacrifices. These are the words we need. These are the words that we need to apply to our lives and be who we and know that these are defining who we are. They're just not quotes. They're just not cute scriptures. There's a depth in his word that we must get to a place where we must study and understand and have discernment with it. And, man, let me say this, too. And when it comes to this crazy walk, this faith walk, this walk of hope, of believing, if you need encouragement, if you need support, if you need accountability, this is what men's ministry is about. You know, men's ministry is a lot of things, but those are the things. You know what? For 2022, I just got this. This is what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about being encouraged by men, challenged by men, supported by men, and held accountable to men. That's next month, brother. Amen. So you get ready, and we because this is what we ought to do. I'm focused on men, Amen. But as the church, this is what we should be doing. I'm focused on the brothers right now, but even when it comes to the body of Christ, those that you sit with or have been sitting with or come together in your congregation, again, I don't care the size of your congregation or your small group, but are you receiving encouragement? Do you need encouragement? Do you need to be challenged? Are you challenging? Do you need support? Are you giving support? Are you being held accountable, or are you holding someone else accountable? Thank you, Lord. This is where we're going to be going. We're going to study. We're going to study, brother. And next February, that's where we're going. I'm going to text you.
Amen.
So you got it. For the brothers that's listening, prepare yourselves. Again, this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Again, we're live on Saturdays. Me and Elder Mark will get together. We're going to record some episodes. We're going to share it with you. But Saturdays at 9 a.m., we're going to be live, God's willing. And if you want to sow into the conversation, I encourage you. I encourage you to also share this with any brothers that you know who are on the fence. You know, who can we pull? You know, because some brothers is on the fence. They're going to the other side or coming to our side. There's only two. There's only two people in the world. The saved and the unsaved, the believers and the non-believers. And as believers, we ought to encourage the others to come over to believe with the truth or present the truth to them and be able to explain to them what we believe and why we believe it. And then, like I said, the other side is to encourage, challenge, support, and hold accountable as the body of Christ. And we can only do that through the study and understanding of the word, studying together, reasoning together. Amen. But anyway, but brothers, I just want to say that piece because that this was on my heart, and this is where we have to be, and what's going on, and when all the things is happening, everybody, brother, you know, somebody's, I know preachers greater than me and wiser than me have said this before. Everybody's else is out the closet. It's time for us to do something. That we need to be. Sometimes we need to be like the world. We need to get out the closet. We need to be out. We need to be speaking these things. And again.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new calendar year where we examine ourselves, because if we don't examine ourselves and how we're living, what we're talking, what we're saying, and even the good works, the work we're doing, you know, are we sharing the gospel? Are we making disciples? Are we fulfilling the Great Commission? Is enough there for us to have the Word of God will give us the discernment. The Holy Spirit will give us discernment and how we are to live and what God is calling us to do. But, man, we have to get in a place where we are fulfilling the call, because there's a call and a purpose for all of our lives. None of us were born by mistake. God just in happenstance because our parents just got together one night. This is God. We're men of God. We were created for purpose and reason. And some of us out, again, some of us were out, some of us in, and some of us right now today are out of our purpose of God because, again, you know, we became like the gazical. We're not willing to put in the work to build a relationship with God. We're in rituals. We're just doing stuff out of tradition. We're doing stuff that because, you know, it looks good and everybody thinks we're good. But our true life is disobedient to God. Being in the church, deacons, elders, I'm not going to mess with pastors right now, but we'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? But, Elder, we're going to go back to crazy faith, bro. I don't know how we got down this path. See what happened when we come and we submit into the Spirit because, you know, it's time. It's time for a shaking. It's a time for the stirring of the Spirit in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And it starts with the men.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things, brothers. For all of you brothers that are listening, look around you. There's churches right now and congregations that don't exist anymore. And the Zoom and the conference calls and the whatever, all the we quote-unquote the technology, that's not the church God called us to be part of. That's not the church. That's not the. That's not. That's what. That's not what's described in Scripture as being the body of Christ and being the believers who gather together. Because I can't encourage nobody over the phone. Well, I can, but I can't really because I can't see what how they really living. You see what I'm saying? I can't really get a physical. I'm looking for a word here. Physical proximity. I can smell you and the sin on you. How about that? But, again, this is what the church is called. And we talk about gathering together and being involved and being engaged and being in fellowship one to another. The one to the all the one to another's in the Scripture. We can't do that on Zoom. Can't do that on conference calls. Can't do that on Google Teams or you know, and I'm not saying because we're on the phone right now, but I can stir some stuff up that we need to get back into gathering together, get back to connecting one to another. Even if y'all, okay, let me put it this way. Let me give you some ideas because I'm a simple man. The church I could meet in the mall. All the malls are open. Meet in the food court in the mall and gather together. Check in with one another. You ain't got to pay rent. Just gather in a common place. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Elder Mark, you got to say something, man, before I get in trouble and people don't want to, you know, they start deleting the text.
I'm just listening, my brother, because you're hitting all the highlights. Your batting average is up pretty good. Man, I just challenge you because, like Deacon said, we're called to something different. It's time for a shaking. Like, I mean, we've held on to the complacency and the acceptance that I'll just be here. And, there was a point in time when I was still, you know, reaching a place of understanding where my confession was, I'm receiving my faith riding on the coattails of my wife. And this was during a 40-day fast. I wasn't taking it seriously enough in the beginning. And then I watched my wife growing and growing and our prayer life changing, and the three or four minutes that we used to pray for her was turning into 10 and 15 minutes when she was, you know, and just going deeper. And I'm looking like, what am I missing? And I realized I wasn't believing deep enough. I wasn't trusting that the change could happen. I wasn't trusting that what I asked God for, because as much as I've known God and as long as I've known God all my life, I've been in a church environment, a part of a ministry for my parents. I've always been raised in the church. But as I got older, I decided I wanted to run because I didn't want to accept what was spoken over me as the call upon my life. So I ran and decided to do other things. I tried other ways to, you know, try my best to find reasons to not go to church on Sunday. But in any case, God will pull you back. However, man, it's time for a change. It's time for us to do something different. It's time for us to stop running away from the call and believe God that he'll give us the strength to walk in the call. Some of us are so scared to be accountable because we're so scared of getting it right. Because getting it right seems so unbelievable because all you felt is you've been getting it wrong. Time for a change. Think different about yourself. Believe in yourself a different way. Believe in the God in you in a different way. And trust, submit, stand. Take that step of crazy faith. Take that step that says, in the midst of the storm, I can walk out. Even in the midst of crashing waves, I can walk across this water because God called me to do so. And if he said so, I know I have the strength. The strength is within me to do so, so I'm going to take this step. Situations might make you fall, stumble, to the point where you have to crawl to get back up. Time you step out builds that righteousness, just as we're called. Even a
righteous man would fall seven times and get back up again. So when we fall, we still get back up, and we just believe wholeheartedly, God, even though I fell, you'll still continue to carry me through. I still trust you. I still believe. And I'm thanking you for changing me enough to see you. Back to you, sir.
Amen, brother. Amen. Well, gentlemen, you know, I believe, you know, we said a lot tonight. And again, I just want to encourage the brothers. You know, just consider the things that we say. Consider what was spoken tonight. Because tomorrow's a new day, a new opportunity. From the time you listen to this episode, I pray that tomorrow you would just examine yourself, see where you are, where God wants you. And if it takes for you to go into prayer, into fasting, into seeking God, to get together with the brothers and pray, where are we going next? What's the next vision? Call your pastor. Reach out to your pastor. Say, Pastor, what's next? What are we doing? What's going on? Understand that we're called as men of God to be in a place and be in a position. We're to be intercessors. We're supposed to stand into the gap. We're supposed to be on the point. We're supposed to be in a place now that we are the church, that the church is going to move forward and follow the men. That's all I'm saying. And what I'm saying is, men, we have to start getting into a place now where we're leading and we're going and we're moving and we're leading the church to what God and being obedient to Christ and what Christ died for. You know, as my pastor says all the time, Christ didn't die for you and your family to get saved and just that's it. And then you just go do what you want, walking around like you're saved and you're not obedient, you're not being used by God, you're not hearing from God in every part of your life. The Word of God, the Scripture has a call and a purpose in every part of our life. I had to learn it myself. I learn it every day. I read Scripture. And where am I? I read a passage. I study a book. I study a principle. Where I am, where am I in my grace? Where am I in my forgiveness? Where am I in my faith? Where am I in my love? Where am I? Am I living up to what the Word of God says I should be as a man of God? And it's not about how I'm behaving. It's about the spirit man. And am I being led by the Holy Spirit? And we repent, and we start to change some things, where the things of God become a priority in our life. They're the most important thing. You know, and the only way we can do that is to spend time in the Word, spend time in prayer, and spend time in fellowship with the saints, that we all can grow and mature. Because some of us, you know, brother, Elder Mark, I'm going to come to you and let you close out in prayer, and you get the final word. And I just want to again repeat what I think I've repeated in the last episode, gentlemen. Some of us, we're on milk. We've been on milk too long. It's time to get to meat. It's time to be fellow laborers. No longer being babes and being consumers. And Paul, you know, we talked about this in a past episode about Paul and the names of the people he called fellow servants. As great of evangelist he was and a disciple, and he spread the gospel throughout Europe and Asia Minor, there's about 50 or 60 in the scripture that he called his fellow laborers. It's time for us to move from milk to meat to become fellow laborers in the fulfillment of the gospel, Jesus Christ. And right where we are, again, as I always say, there's a soul out there that's only going to receive the gospel truth from you, not from your pastor, not from the TV evangelist. It's you that's going to make a difference in a man's soul, that he will not be here after the rapture to endure the wrath of God to come. Because next time Jesus comes back, it's going to be too late for a lot of folk. Plus, they would have to endure the tribulation. Amen? Amen. So, brothers, I encourage you again. This is an Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. And again, I just invite you to join us live on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. And share and text. And again, any men's events coming up, in the year, please send us a link, post it on Facebook, send me a text link where we can post it so there's opportunities for brothers to come together. And because, you know, there's brothers out there who need to connect, need to be in a circle of a circle of men, to be in the company of Christian men, that they might grow and be encouraged. Amen. Elder Mark, brother, again, man, I appreciate you and I thank you. I'm going to give you the final word, and if you would, close us out in prayer.
Amen. Amen. To all of my brothers listening that have joined right now, those that will go back and listen to the archive of this discussion, I just pray that you heard something that will change your mind about believing a little deeper, about stepping out on what may seem crazy, but believing wholeheartedly God can do it through you, in you, and with you, and for you. No matter who you were or where you are now, if you believe in the power of God, the strength of God to change you, anything is possible. That change, that desire to be something different is all that you need. Just believe. Father God, I honor you and we bless you, Lord God. We just come before you to give you praise, Lord God, for you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Alpha, Omega, beginning and the end, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you just speak unto us, Lord God, and you, as your Holy Spirit is dispatched upon us, Lord God, with revelation, we begin to see, Lord God, that you are always moving on our behalf, Lord God. So we stand in faith, Lord God, knowing that you, Lord God, are making things right, that as we lean upon you and not that of our own understanding, you are making the path straight, Lord God. So we just say, we just trust you, Lord God. We thank you, we honor you, and we bless you, Lord God. We continue to lean upon you. We thank you for your guidance, for your mercy, Lord God, for your favor, Lord God, and most of all for your forgiveness, all which we stand undeserving. But thank you, Lord God, that you continue to bestow upon us in the abundance that is you and you alone, O Father. So we thank you, and we stand, Lord God, today with a crazier faith, Lord God, a deeper belief, Lord God, that you can do it, Lord God, that you are the miracle doer, Lord God, as we step up to the call, Lord God, to answer the call, to be the men that you called us to be, Lord God, the role models, the fathers, Lord God, the leaders that you called us to be, as we walk, Lord God, in a different faith, Lord God, different than what we were, proclaiming to be what you called us to, proclaiming to be what you called us to be. In the name of your Son, we pray, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, sir.